Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. This is God's word. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now she knows she's pregnant. She despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your servant is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. He was 86 years old. You have any idea how old 86 years old is? 86 is really old. I mean, it's like really old. I mean, even old people think that 86 is old. Okay? 86 is old. And he was an old man. And God had told him that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky or the sand by the sea. You can't count all the children you're going to have, all the descendants that you're going to have, Abram. You are indeed an exalted father. You're going to have all these descendants, and yet it just wasn't happening. Do you suppose that Abram ever shared with Sarai what God had said to him? God had said he was going to have descendants. Well, if his marriage is anything like my marriage, I can assure you they'd had that conversation. This is what God's been saying to me. This is what happened. This is what's going on. And yet, in terms of circumstance, it wasn't happening. God's saying it, but I'm not seeing it. If you've walked with the Lord for a while, you've had times like this. When you know God said this, and it just doesn't seem to line up with your circumstances. What do you do in that situation? Well, I'll tell you what a lot of people do. They try and help God out. Okay? It's like God's busy. He's running the universe. He's got all this stuff. I know how we can make this happen. I know how we can facilitate the plan of God. We're just going to help God a little bit. And please notice, Abram didn't say, hey, Sarai, what if I got another wife? This wasn't Abram's doing. This wasn't his idea. His wife wanted to help. She said, the Lord has prevented me from having children. That was true. Consider your children a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. That's what God says in his word. So, not only are we to value the life of each child, every child is to be valued, but we need to recognize that the reason every life is to be valued is because God is the giver of life. And so, she knew. God's in control. He's promised you children. He's not letting me bear them. So maybe I could be a part of this by giving you my servant to be another wife to you. And her children can be ours. Okay, we're just going to use her. She'll have the baby, and then it'll be our baby. Okay? Folks, this plan, by the way, is still being enacted today. Okay? People are still doing this, using other people as surrogates in order to have babies. Because we want a baby, we can't have a baby, and so we're going to try and game the system. We're going to use somebody else. Now, I am 100% for adoption. But I am not for treating children like merchandise. I am not for saying, I've got enough money, I'll pay you to do something that isn't really natural in order that I can have a baby and you just kind of provide an incubator. I don't think so. Okay? Sometimes couples need assistance between the two of them. Just be sure that if you're in that situation, you don't do something that ends up costing the lives of children that have been conceived. Because a lot of the IVF procedures end up with numerous fertilized eggs that are not allowed to be implanted. And I think we're going to have to answer for that. This was a situation where Abram heard what his wife said, and instead of saying, honey, I don't think that's a good idea. Thank you so much for wanting for us to be able to have a family, but I don't think it's an idea that we ought to follow up on. Having a second wife just doesn't seem like a plan. Let me just go ahead and say this. One wife, wonderful. More than one wife, not smart. Not smart. I am told, I'm not a Hebrew expert, I started to Google it this morning and I ran out of time, but I'm told that the word in Hebrew for trouble is the same as the word for second wife. Okay? In this case, it turns out to be trouble. Because his wife suggests it, and he thinks, okay, the more the merrier. This sounds like a plan. And so he takes Hagar as his second wife, and he goes and he has relations with her, and she conceives, and once she has conceived, she starts kind of sneering at Sarai. Now, Sarai had been her mistress, her boss. She was the servant of Sarai. But now, she's got something that Sarah doesn't have. She's shown that she can do something that Sarai can't do. She has a special bond with Abram because she is the mother of his child. And so, she feels a little bit superior to her superior. Not a good thing. Just as an aside, please understand, if you start feeling better than or superior to the people who are in charge of you, you are cruising for a bruising. This is very important for young people to understand because it is a real temptation when you become a teenager to begin to think that you know more than all the adults in your life. A friend of ours had a sticker on her refrigerator encouraging her children to go ahead and move out on their own while they were teens and they know everything. Fortunately, her kids did not move out. But I want you to understand something. There's that attitude that can creep in. It can creep in the workplace where you begin to feel like the people who are in upper level management are just a bunch of idiots. What are they doing all day? Okay? We're down here in the trenches. We're the ones who know what's going on. We're doing the job. They, who knows? Okay? But clearly they are out of touch. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what we go through. All right? And it's true to some extent. People in upper level management do not know what people who are further down the ladder organizationally may be facing. Just as people who are further down the ladder organizationally haven't got a clue about tons of the stuff that the people who are above them are having to do. I'm telling you something. This problem is an attitude problem that is a flaw in our sin nature that goes all the way back thousands of years. It doesn't say Sarai despised her servant. It says the servant, Hagar, despised her mistress. So Hagar had a bad attitude. And she began misbehaving toward her boss. I'm sorry, I can't do that for you right now, Miss Sarai. I'm taking care of two. Let me just tell you something. She had a bad attitude. Shame on her. So what did Sarai do? She developed a bad attitude. She goes to her husband and she says, this is all your fault. He says, what? What are we talking about here? He says, you're the one. I trusted you. I gave you my servant so that you could have another wife. And now that she's pregnant, she's being really snippy with me. It's your fault. May God judge between us. And he's like, hey, babe, look. It was your idea, not mine. She's your servant. You do whatever you think is best. You've been managing her for years. Just, I don't want to get in the middle on this one. Here's a note. For the future. You are in the middle. If you're married, you're in the middle of whatever it is. All right? You can't just distance yourself from the problem because you don't want to take responsibility for it. You will be entrusted with responsibility for all kinds of fires that you did not start. All right? So what happens? Sarai mistreats Hagar. Hagar had a bad attitude. Sarai had bad behavior. She is mistreating her servant enough to run her off. I mean, she runs away. No place to go. a baby on the way. And she knows she has a baby on the way. And God appears to her. The angel of the Lord shows up where she is. And he ministers to her. And he says, you have a child on the way. And I already know that child's future. And I have a plan for that child. And I have a name for that child. The name that was given, Ishmael, means God hears. And Ishmael would become the father, the patriarch of the Arab peoples. And here's what it says about the future. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. That is still true today. And I have precious friends who are Arabs. So I'm not putting anybody down. I'm simply quoting from God. Okay? He can say that. And anybody who studies history, including my precious Arab friends, would say, yep, that's true. That's us. That's the way we are. Now, I still don't think you ought to say that. Hey, let me tell you something about not just Arab people, but all people. We are all sinners and we all deserve God's wrath. Got it? The only hope for any of us is a Savior, and God has sent us a Savior, and his name is Jesus. But meanwhile, I want you to understand that this effort to fix a problem that didn't need to be fixed created a problem that still hasn't been fixed. Please be careful about trying to help God. I'm not talking about obeying God. All of us need to obey God. But if we think God needs our help, and so in order to make God's job easier, we're going to do something that God didn't sanction, we are making a big mistake. I've told you before about my friend who lied in order to try and have a more effective testimony. He was just trying to make God's job easier. Okay? Because he's trying to connect with some people who are using drugs by acting as if he had a background in drug usage. He had none. Well, why'd you say that? Well, I was trying to relate to them. What? Don't lie to people in order to try and lead them to Christ. That's terrible. Let me tell you one of the other ways some people try to help God and it's not helpful, and that is pretending that we've never done anything wrong. Okay? Acting as if we've got it all together all the time. As a matter of fact, I wake up every morning saying, it's a new day! Folks, we don't need to try to pretend that we've got problems. We just need to be honest. Because all of us have got problems. All of us. We've all got weaknesses. We've all got faults. And if we'll just be honest, we can be more effective witnesses for Christ.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, and he's holding out his hand. God met with Hagar. The angel of the Lord showed up. And the angel of the Lord gave her hope for the future. And she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. And that is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy, which means the well of the living one who sees me. This is a real place. These were real people. this really happened. And what I want you to understand is that God is still the God who sees and the God who hears and the God who knows not only everything that's going on in your life and in mine right now, but he knows the future. He knows what's coming. He knows how to do the impossible, and he doesn't need our help to get it done. God's arm is not short, the Bible says. Means he is able to reach where he needs to reach and do what he needs to do. He's got all power and all authority. And you and I can rest in his promises. When God says something's going to happen, he doesn't need us to make it happen. Whatever God says, this I will do, he will do. So rest in him, trust in him, believe his word, and watch what he does. Because as old as Abram was, 86 years old, God had decided he wasn't ready yet for the miracle baby that was coming. Not quite old enough. God's going to wait until it looks like no way. God's going to wait until the only way that this could happen is if God does it. Because God's going to do it. Let me tell you something. God loves working miracles. God doesn't look at our situation and say, oh no, I'm going to have to do another miracle. God sets it up. It's a drama. It's beautiful. It is an opportunity for us to see who he is and realize who we're dealing with. God loves doing miracles. Don't be afraid to trust him. But the only way that you see the miracles is when you get in situations where you need a miracle. And most of us don't want to be in that situation. Right? I mean, wouldn't most of us be willing to settle for a life with less drama? You know? I mean, I think it'd be nice if we could just kind of know we're going to have a steady income. From now on, it's permanent, it's fixed, and it's got a rider built in to adjust for inflation. Let me tell you something. God loves to work miracles because it's one of the ways we get to know him better. So trust him. I told the Lord yesterday morning as I was praying, God, I want to be completely dependent on you. And the minute the words came out of my mouth, I said, okay, God, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. I am completely dependent on you, as is everybody else on the planet. We're all completely dependent on God. And I said, so Lord, I want to live in a way that I know I'm depending on you and that my life shows that I'm depending on you. That's the goal. You don't want to just need God occasionally if you get in a mess. I need thee every hour, gracious Lord. We need him all the time, whether we know it or not. We can't draw our next breath apart from him. Our heart keeps beating because of him. The sun keeps shining because of him. The earth keeps spinning because of him. We are utterly dependent upon him. Don't try to do his job for him. He's in control, and that's as it should be. And you don't have to be afraid. He will always keep all of his promises. And his timing is not what we would plan. But it's perfect. Absolutely perfect.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.